Hi everyone, my name is Azam Rais and welcome to the off-season special from Poet X. In these next few weeks, we'll be releasing a barrage of poetry, which are live recordings of poets from Ruminate. Ruminate was a spoken word event organized by Poet X a couple of months ago, where we showcased among the biggest names in the contemporary poetry scene in KL at that time. Each episode of the Ruminate series will feature one of the seven performers that performed at the event. What you will hear is the live recordings taken at the venue, Pampas Old Malaya, Jalan Raja Julan, KL. In this penultimate episode of the Ruminate series, we have a very special poet who has an almost cult-like following in the local poetry scene. Skilled trilingually, he is a contemporary example of the conundrum that is the English-speaking Malay Muslim. An icon to many, he is an outstanding performer who twirls the audience's imagination around his fingers with discomforting ease. He is none other than Jamal Ruslan. Taking the stage at Ruminate, the crowd fell silent and savored every syllable of his spoken word performance. Jamal has appeared on TEDxKL and is an artist with Mocha Fest under the World Islamic Economic Forum. He released his EP, The Word, in 2011 at the Georgetown Literary Festival and was published in Malkan Testament, Malaysian Poems. For your listening pleasure, Poet X is proud to present you Jamal Ruslan, live at Ruminate.
Mic test, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2. Assalamualaikum. Good evening. My name is Jamal Ruslan. I'm a spoken word poet. You've probably heard the term spoken word being brandished a few times tonight. What is spoken word poetry? It's basically poetry that's meant for the stage. So why do I want to make a distinction between the stage and the page? There are poetry that are meant to be read, and there are poetry that are meant to be read. If you can tell the difference, then I guess you can understand why we do spoken word. Because I am someone who believes that the word is alive. And this is how I'm going to introduce myself. You say, I'm not Melayu like you. I am Melayu baru, poyo elitis Malay like a certain maha. They, I speak too much English. Kononnya orang putih, perasaan British. And that I use too many adjectives and verbs, ones you've never even read before or even heard. And that I have a way with words. You say, I have a way with words. See, what I think is that words have a way of making themselves heard, of telling people what they are, what they really mean, and what their direction is. So if you want to come up to me and tell me that I have a way with words, be prepared. Because I'm going to say I heard you, but I'm not hurt with your words, because I'm not the one who don't know who I am, what I live for, and what I want to do with my life. Because you see, I know who I am, what I live for, and what I want to do with my life. And that is just probably too many words for you to understand. And you just couldn't comprehend why a Melayu like me, like you, can seem so at hand, speaking with a tongue that he wasn't even born with, freely and fluently expressive way that he was not even supposed to be seen with, or heard with, or think with. As if he's forgotten the national language that the national constitution nationally imposed the nation, or what the national should nationally be conversing with. I mean, do I really have to kiss and junjung the keris? Because you see, thing is, you seem smart and well-educated, a beneficiary of the education system that the nation established and implemented, you know, reading and remembering and following and memorizing and then regurgitating everything that you read and remembered and followed and memorized in exams at boarding schools, public schools, premier schools, they sterilized, and then in universities, colleges, universities, on government and corporate sponsorships over here and overseas. See, you may very well one day grow to be a minister because you've already memorized the official JPA song, but let me tell you this. You're wrong. But don't worry. I'm not accusing you. Don't be defensive. I'm not patronizing you. Don't be sarcastic. I am not pointing the finger at you. I'm just saying that I know it's not you. It's not your fault. No, it's not. It's the education systems. It's the system that educated you, not yourself. It's the system that did not educate you to educate yourself so you wouldn't have known. Because you wouldn't have known how. And now you are part of that system. You are the very people that reads the Cosmos, the URTVs, the mangas, the Panca Indras. You are the very people that could not even commentate a sports match decently in Bahasa. You were the one who translated duck to eat it in movie cinemas. And back in 2010, in the D80 movie, instead of tank to kereta kebal, it was tank to tangki. And you were the ones who translated melody to melody when there's such a word as irama. Or lyrics to lyric when there's such a word as seni kata. And you were the ones who coined the term bahasa, jiwa, bangsa. And now you want to call me a traitor for standing here speaking in English when you were the ones who allow your souls, our souls, to be diluted with borrowed syllables and direct translations that was not even reflected on and regulated. Losing context of what it was supposed to translate and convey. Losing the message and the meaning somewhere along the way, and you still have the guts to come up to me and say that I have a way with words. See, there's only one way with words. And that's how they tell you what they are, what they really mean, and what their direction is. So me, I know who I am, what I live for, and what I want to do with my life. A Melayu who can think in English and yet articulate himself in Malay. A Melayu who can think in Malay and yet express himself in English. A Melayu who will not use moderation as an excuse and instead put Malay and his own Malayness to better use, because he realizes that his soul is his to lose, if otherwise. So now let me ask you this. What about you? Bagaimana pula dengan kamu? Thank you. Spoken word needs to be consumed live. You need to watch it, because when you write spoken word poetry, you write with the express and explicit intent for it to be performed. You cannot stop the poet. You cannot rewind the poet. You cannot tell the poet to pause just for you to snap your fingers a couple of snaps more. You cannot do any of those. And once the performance is done, the only thing left for you to do is go up to the poet and speak to the poet, or be with your own thoughts. But that is why spoken word is important. Because if we can write something, and in that 3 to 4 minutes, you hear nothing else aside from our words, then it means the poetry is working. And poetry must have a function. It must serve. The second piece, which I'm still thinking of what to do in my head. Let's see. Okay, you know what? Let's make it Malaysian. Let's go global. Okay, how many of you have seen the movie Avatar? Which one? James Cameron one, the blue one. Okay, good. The blue one. Okay, in that movie, when the blue people, whom I call the Na'vi, they greet each other, or they say a prayer before they slay an animal or a living being, they say the translation and a translation of "I see you" in their language. What they say in their own language is "Owangati kamai," and for me, that is a prayer, a wish, a greeting that is very profound, because they see that living thing as it is in the grand scheme of things, and they see how they are reacting and interacting with that thing in this whole life, and. We have forgotten a lot of values, and this really, really bougie yet cool place tonight, Azam Podex, Safwan Hanis, that's a great job for you guys to get the event here. We sometimes just see the values on these walls, on those wooden furnitures, and we feel Malay or Malaysian, but we have absolutely no idea how to live those values in our daily life. So this is a poem about that. This piece is called Human Lens. We live in a world where a screen is more sensitive to touch than our skin, and we are more sensitive to sensitivities than holding our own kin. People touching screens to connect globally with another, but still think twice before holding hands with a different color. The days of shaking hands and touching cheeks have been replaced by accepting friends to update the family tree. The friendly nudge is now the FB poke, and a status like is the last time you actually spoke. A person's worth used to be what he does and what he knows. Now, it depends on the company he keeps and who he knows. We're told we couldn't share via P2P because it makes the industry worse, when intellectual property is just basically who declares it first. Like how people marvel at the creativity of Stan Lee, when the one who captured our imaginations on paper was the late Jack Kirby. Globalization is just another word to expand one's connections, because the real commodity now is first-hand information. But what if I put my hand out first? before sharing information. Without sharing information, would you reach out to me? O ang ati kamaiye, who do you see? We live in a world where beauty is just skin deep and we test it on animals first because it's safe to us and it's cheap. We let our eyes judge based on what it sees because we use logos to tell us how to look and how to speak. From the papyrus to the printing press, from rock art paintings to La Presse, they add three more P's to the four so they could earn more and still spend less. And now they use the four C's to foresee what we would like to wear across the four seasons. Four reasons: consumer, cost, convenience, communication. From the skin you love to touch to love the skin you're in. But what if I get under your skin? Would you feel me? Who would I see? O ang ati kamaiye, do you feel me? You see, there is a difference between value and values. And when you value your values at your valuables value, then your valuable values is worth nothing of value. No matter how good you look in the first tenth of a second, the words you say make the lasting impression because sound travels slower than light. And that's why some appear bright until you hear them speak. Beauty goes deep, deeper than skin. That's why we are what we eat. Change the surface and we will look different, but change what we consume and we will become different. Don't be ripples on the water that are quickly forgotten or the splash that is created in an inspired moment. Be the color that changes the ocean, and you will see. And you will see me. Blame me for wearing rose-tinted glasses with human lenses, but my eyes don't like the reality, so I'm using my human senses. So what? If I think with my heart, speak with my hands, feel with my eyes, I will get you. And if I don't get you, I will touch you. So I can suck those words right out of your heart straight onto my skin and feel it with my ears because I see you, o ang ati kamaiye, I see you. So embrace your naked skin and strip these present tenses. You will never make contact if you don't use our common senses. And if you still don't see me with all your human senses, then it's time you change your contacts and wear some human lenses. Thank you. A lot of people have the notion that poetry is love, you know. That's why spoken word is something that feels very fresh and immediate and urgent. The impression that we have of poetry, the notion that we have of poetry, is somehow or other roses are reds, violets are blue. You love me and I love you and so whatever. You know, love poetry. You know, things that's very classical, very traditional, blah, blah, blah. Very clean. And it's all about love. And it talks about issues by not talking about them. It's just an affirmation or an acknowledgement that the issue is there, but you don't really use the words as something constructive to push the envelope and to create and open a discussion, if not a debate. Which is what spoken word does, because when you write for the stage and you die behind the mic, it's because you are having a conversation, not just with yourself, but you're somehow trying to facilitate a conversation between everyone there, with or without you. It doesn't really matter. During or post, it doesn't really matter. And that's why it's important. And there are so many more urgent things to write about than love, which is why I don't really like love poems. But this is one of the very few love poems that I have. Spoken word poetry, I believe, is something that I believe to be about representation, relevance, and resonance. You have to stand for something, even if it's nothing. And you must relate, and you must be relatable. And when you can do these two things, then you will resonate. How many of you are science students and you know what resonate means? Okay, for those of you who don't know, it's when two masses are vibrating at the exact same frequency, and they will break whatever shape or form that they're in. Okay, that's how a female singing at a very high-pitched voice breaks a glass, a wine glass, because the wine glass is vibrating at the same frequency as the molecules in the air that has been moved by her voice. And that's what spoken word is. You feel it, and then you go back, and you can never forget that feeling. And you will see things and feel things in a different way after that. And when you write poems to do those kind of things, or when you write poems with that kind of belief, the right thing is more important than the poem. And the right thing is something that is reconciliatory. It heals. It's therapeutic. So this is a poem about loss and healing. And it's about moving on. It's about moving forward, not moving on, actually. For those of you who've experienced loss, this is for you. This piece is called Eyes. Your eyes are not the first thing I remember whenever I think about you. It's your lips. It's hard to not notice the mole on your upper lip. Just a little to the left, not too large, not too small, just enough to make people notice. Like you. Without doing much, you always seem to do just enough to make people notice, and I just couldn't quite put a finger on it. And I'm not sure if it was your height or your stoic expression. Maybe it is how your chest swallows my words whenever you breathe, like temple doors opening to welcome sinners in. Maybe it is how your collarbones seem to lift the troubles off of my shoulders and hold it in my smile whenever you walk towards me. Maybe it is how straight your upper body posture is. Like a new resolution, a revolution, if I didn't know any better, I would take a photo of you standing upright and put it in books teaching Muslim kids how to pray. Because that is how one should be standing when they are about to face God. And I swear, the moment I saw you walk into my life through that door for the first time, I thought I was about to face God. Not because you are. I mean, we're all just a pale reflection of his light created in his image, but the image of you was the brightest reflection of his light I had ever witnessed, and I wasn't prepared for that. So I kept my seat and hid behind the glow of my laptop monitor, thinking that it would give just enough backlight on my face for you to notice me. That's why I looked down immediately. I didn't feel worthy. And I'm not sure till today what you saw in me. If it was the backlight or was it the curious glances from my eyes that were just too small to swallow you whole, that I had to stare longer than I should every time you walked around the house, because otherwise it would just remain a shadow in my mind. I don't need any more shadows. My past is enough. I wonder how often you met God. Because every time you walk, regardless of the direction, you seem ready, as if you were going to run into him. And when I say run into him, I don't mean like running into an old friend down the street, but run into him because you've been meaning to go up to him and ask, why has he given you such a bad hand in life? If we were the most perfect of his creations, then why did you get a resolve that bent as you grew older until your life went on a tangent, until your lungs could collapse under the weight of its own self, until losing your breath was just a strip away? Some would say, I sound blasphemous. But blasphemy is either sacrilegious or reverential. And you, like a warm body in cold monsoon nights, or both. Your body is a temple that I want to enter and never leave so that I would be praying more. Your voice is a call to prayer I cannot ignore. Your heart is the tomb where I bury myself in. Your mind is the pit where I bury everyone else. Your spine is proof that faith is real. Your smile is proof that God is listening. And your eyes, God, your eyes are proof that I have lived. I think I understand now why you love the sky and why you love taking pictures of the horizon. Because it also makes me wonder about the heavens and how it feels like to be home. And that is why your eyes are never the first thing I remember whenever I think about you. Because the moment your eyes told me that I have fallen for you, I did not realize that losing them will mean that I don't belong anymore. Thank you. Thank you. A lot of things that I write about are identity related, and it's very apt that we're doing this today here in this venue. It's like poetry breaking ground, like quite literally. I wouldn't be surprised if back in the day, if there were establishments similar looking to this, you would have its patrons, you know, talking about Byron and Shakespeare and whoever else they were reading. And the fact that we're doing this right now, in our own way, in our own time, is great, it's beautiful. My last piece is about identity. It's how I see the world that I have grown up in. I'm a trilingual Malaysian. I went to Chinese school. I went to English kindergarten. I never had Malay friends until I was 22, 23. Like really good Malay friends. Only because of this. So 2001, I read the book Malay Dilemma. I thought that was the answer to that burning question. 2010, I found the myth of the lazy native, which was, I believe, to be the real answer to that question. And this poem is about that. And this is the last thing that I'm going to leave you with. The word is alive. Always, 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 always listen. This piece is called Millennium. I was wondering about how and when I started thinking in English, when it struck me. I don't remember. I don't remember when the layers of my cerebral cortex shifted and the land that I belonged to quaked and lifted, and I underwent an evolution where the borders that govern my speech reformed in dissolution, shaping my lips into a new nation, my tongue into a new constitution. I spoke in revolution, my elocution eloquent in execution, sentencing my color and sound to a new resolution. I became a new institution, a citizen of the new world, speaking new words. I knew works, I knew of a new word true. I was layers of sound woven into a songket of speech that wrapped my cuirass with voices of yore and dances of sore knees and bare backs that yielded to the sun to yield crops, with heads dropped, half bowing to the royalty, half kissing the soil for the royalty it bestowed, and half bowing to its seeds. I was a seed. Before I cut my customs for unaccustomed deeds, I traded my green roof for greener pastures, writing on new alphabets, my new lines drew my new face. I knew this was my new place. I don't remember how and when I got a new place. I don't remember how and when the borders of my ancestry and heritage in my consciousness became a new continent where I speak in the voice of knowledge and discovery, in the language of explorers and missionaries. All I remember is how Jules Verne took me on a journey into the center of my mind and went 20,000 leagues under my anxieties, with the ticket price being imagination. I remember the countless mysteries I saw with the three investigators, breaking down every insulating insult that accompanied every word I said in my new voice. How maaf, saudara. Excuse me? Awak tak baca BM ke? Read BM. Iya. BM. Bahasa Malaysia, bahasa ibunda kita, lingua franca, pentas Sunda, pentas bibir kita bersua, lindah berdansa, minda bersenggama, meneroka ceruk bicara, melakar peta jiwa bangsa, warisan peradaban kita. Yes, I do, a little bit. Sikit. Sikit je. Tapi bukan awak ni Melayu ke? Yes, I'm Malay. Habis tu, kenapa perlu begini? Huh? Membelakangkan pertiwi, menggadai jati diri. Bukankah kita juga kaya dengan warisan bahasa? Gurindam, syair, pantun, seloka. Mencuit hati, membuai rasa. Menusuk kalbu, mendamai jiwa. Jangan lupa, saudara. Bahasa itu warisan bersama. Penulis kita tak kurang bisa. Tun Sri Lanang mencatat sejarah. Pendita Zakbah, penjunjung falsafah. Eh, Samad Said menungkah arah. Usman Awang, penegak khilafah. But sir, I never said I turned my back on bahasa Melayu. I was only wondering how and when English became the language I go to. I know all the writers you name and the books they wrote, but where were their wisdom when I was searching for a quote? Saudara, nak seribu daya, tak nak seribu dalih, jangan jadikan pasaran kecil alasan kamu tak pita dan fasih. But don't you think that's an odd thing to say? If we are the majority, then why their books barely see the light of day? Itu semua salah kamu. Menyisih warisan menyanjung ilmu, terkejarkan akal hingga tertinggal jiwa. Lebih digemarkan karya-karya barat yang dibaca dari karya-karya kita. But it's not my fault that we don't have a budaya membaca. That literature is only taught to pelajar-pelajar sastra. That the teachers at schools don't even read and they don't even understand whatever sastra they teach before using the excuse of students being weak to bring lesser writers to replace these antics. Hey, saudara. Jangan cuba buat kelakar, saudara. Jangan kurang ajar. But what I say is true when you know it too. In fact, the one to blame for all of this is your folks and you. If you didn't treat sastra as a high art and exclusive, then things might have been a bit more inclusive. Instead of treating it as a gift, you took it as treasure. And in your ignorance, you only widened the fissure. You call yourselves custodians, but even you rojakkan bahasa. But you too are proud. You're too proud to admit it, just like the kaum tua. And after all that, you still point the finger at us for not being able to find jobs because we don't speak good English. Hoi, Melayu! You listen here and you listen clear. I held my peace and tried to make peace so we could try to piece things together, you know. But you like the sound of your own voice too much. It was something that we can no longer consider. You are the voice of reason we don't need. Your intellect plus seeds of prejudice and greed. First, imperialism. Now, globalization. Everything is just colonial pollution. You took our land, our men, our trust, our produce, called us lazy natives back at your home and put up a face here calling truce. And when we are used, you look away and cut us loose. But now, we are fighting back with blood and soil in our hands just so you will realize that machines are never the measure of men. Dear Malay, jangan begitu. Walaupun suara berbeza, kita tetap Melayu. Buang yang keruh, ambil yang jernih, bersama kita usap yang pedih. Tak guna bersengketa kerana suara yang asing, jiwa tulus dan ikhlas itu yang penting. Yang Inggerisnya bahasa, bukannya jiwa. Bak kata pepatah, tak kenal maka tak cinta. Ilmu perlu dikejar hingga ke hujung dunia. Bak kata sunnah biar sampai ke China. Suatu bangsa takkan menjadi besar tanpa memiliki sifat kurang ajar. Saudara, izinkan saya berkongsi iktibar. Hang Tuah sendiri mahir 18 logat dan bahasa. Hinggakan beliau mewakili raja. Sebagai pengutus pengikat bangsa, saudara takkan Melayu hilang di dunia. My name is Jamal Raslan. I'm a spoken poet. Thank you for having me. Good night.
That was Jamal Raslan live at Ruminate. We hope you've enjoyed the live recordings you've heard on this special episode. We will be releasing more exclusive content on the outstanding performers at Ruminate in the coming weeks, so stay tuned. Poet X is a production of Tehalia.my. If you'd like to get the next episode automatically, subscribe to Tehalia.my on iTunes or any other podcast services you use. If you'd like to receive updates, follow us on Facebook and Instagram with our handle @PoetXPodcast. I'm Azam Rais and this has been Poet X. Good night.